make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The Top 6 World Showcase Snacks, Part 2. I am Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 69 of the World of Walt podcast, Make the Most of Your Walt Disney World Vacation, for the week of April 24th, 2016. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today's podcast is sponsored by Ear to There Travel. If you're planning a trip to any Disney destination, give Phil at Ear to There Travel a call. Phil's a former Disney cast member, so he really knows how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your next trip at no extra cost while making sure you get the best possible deal on your vacation. You can reach Phil at eartotheretravel.com. Last week in episode 68, we started a voyage around the world, or at least around World Showcase, by looking at the top snacks in the first half of the country pavilions, going from Mexico through to the American Adventure. Today, we're going to continue our culinary journey by looking at the top 6 World Showcase snacks, part 2. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome a guy who today is going to reveal at least one way why Epcot is better than Dunkin' Donuts, and that is Russ Reeves. Russ, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Herb. Am I limited to only one way that Epcot is better than Dunkin' Donuts? Because I could think of hundreds.
That may need to be an episode on its own. Yeah, today we'll stick to one, or maybe a couple bonus ones if you want to toss them in there.
Okay.
So last time we made it halfway through. I'm looking forward to completing the circuit. But before we get into our favorite snacks, we've got today's warm-up question, which is, what is your favorite animal to see in Kilimanjaro Safaris?
I think one that I enjoyed most recently was the hippopotamus. I think that they're pretty amazing animals, and some that you definitely don't want to encounter in the wild. You know, they can be quite dangerous to encounter in the wild, and so seeing them from the safe confines of your safari vehicle. And they're almost always going to be down in the water, which is fun to see, or, you know, sort of lounging on the side, on the bank. And, you know, it was interesting to see how they sort of are getting sunburned almost. They're kind of turning pink there in the sun, just like we would if we were laying there. But they're a lot of fun to see.
That's a good choice. And, you know, it's one of those animals that I wouldn't say, wow, that looks dangerous. It doesn't necessarily have big fangs. I know it's got teeth to do some damage, but I guess all of the heft of that animal can really make a mark.
Yeah, I've been to Africa a few times, and I've heard some pretty horrible stories about tragedies involving people's run-ins with hippopotamus. So I do not want to encounter them in the wild. I'll take seeing them on the Jungle Cruise or on the Kilimanjaro Safari.
Both good places to see hippopotamuses or hippopotami or whatever the right way is to say that.
Right.
Good. So if I had to pick a favorite animal, and it's hard because they're all interesting in their own right, but one of the ones I really enjoy seeing are the giraffes, because I feel like you get a really close encounter sometimes. Sometimes they're over hiding by the trees. But I've had a few safaris where the giraffe has been, it seemed like, within arm's reach of the safari vehicle. And it was just amazing to be that close to an animal that big.
Yeah, they're amazing. Probably the main reason I didn't go with the giraffe, in fact, was because I was kind of spoiled by a stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And we got to see them every day, from our room. And so, you know, otherwise I probably would have said the giraffe. But, they are fascinating to watch.
Yeah, very, very interesting animals. Okay, good. Well, our top 6 World Showcase snacks, we have made it in the previous episode halfway around, starting from Mexico over to the American Adventure. So today, we're picking up at Japan. So Japan, number 1, and for me, I am going to go to the Kabuki, I think it may be the right name of this place, for a spot where they serve kakigori. and Kakagori is shaved ice. So shaved ice is something you can get in a lot of places, but I think the particular flavors that they put on the shaved ice are very interesting. So you can get rainbow, strawberry, melon, cherry, tangerine. I have picked rainbow in the past, which I've actually regretted a little bit because some of the flavors sort of run together at the end. I thought rainbow is nice because you get to try them all, but in the end, it's just one sort of combination of everything together. So if I were going to go and get my next category, I think I would select tangerine because it had one of the more interesting flavors out of the rainbow of flavors that I got the sample. But it is fun. It's a pretty good serving. It's definitely refreshing, a great item for a hot day, Kakagori in Japan.
Yeah. It always looks wonderful when I'm walking by there. I see a lot of people enjoying them, but I've never had one.
Yeah, and you would think...
Try it next time.
Yeah, you'd think shaved ice, well, I can kind of get there anywhere. But I think the flavorings do have a Japanese type of taste. Not that I'm a Japanese taste expert, but it's not the sort that you would get in a typical American spot. They just have a unique flavor to them, which are still a little sweet and very good.
Well, I'm looking forward to trying that next time.
All right, good. Number one, Japan Kakagori. Number two, Russ, we're over to you.
Okay, and we're in Morocco, right?
Yes.
So the tangerine flavor that you chose for your Kakagori transitions well to my Moroccan snack, and I'm going to find that in the Tangerine Cafe. But it's actually, I'm going with a beverage. So you're going to have to go back into the back of the Tangerine Cafe in the pastries and coffee bar, where I'm going to have a nice spot of mint tea. I've traveled extensively. I've been in Africa, in the Middle East, in Europe, in South Asia. And one thing that just translates everywhere you go is the love of tea. It's a key part of hospitality in all those cultures, spending time with people over a shared pot of tea. And tea takes on a lot of different flavors here in the South where I live. You know, it's usually very sweet, and but around the world it's paired with a lot of different ingredients. But mint is very common, and it gives it a nice little refreshing jolt. So I love going in there to have a little bit of Moroccan tea, mint tea. The pavilion there for Morocco is one of my favorites because the theming is so authentic, and it really does feel like you're in a sort of a North African or Middle Eastern marketplace, and when I sit down with that cup of warm mint tea, it just takes me to so many places that I've been in my mind.
Mm, good choice. And I think that the Tangerine Cafe is often overlooked. I think people may be put off by the flavors they fear they're going to encounter in Morocco, but they've got some really nice things there.
You know, I think a lot of people don't even go back into the pavilion. They just kind of walk by it and, you know, look to the left, look to the right, and keep going. But you have to get back into that pavilion to really appreciate it. And, you know, plus by the time we've eaten all the sweets that we've eaten on this culinary tour of World Showcase, we need a good dose of caffeine and a nice warm beverage to help it all settle.
I agree. It's a nice way to balance out the journey. All right, good. Number two, Morocco and mint tea. So we're continuing our way around, and we're up to number three, which is France, and we're back over to you, Russ.
Okay, so I have yet another opportunity to butcher another language, and so I'm going to say it in my best Southern American accent. I'm going to have the croque glacé at the Artisans de Glacé. It's an ice cream sandwich. But don't think about what we normally call an ice cream sandwich here in the States. Nothing at all like that. So you have basically three main components. First, the main ingredient, which is the ice cream. And you can get any of the flavors, and there are plenty to choose from. They have caramel. They have cinnamon with caramelized pecan. They have a caramelized apple, coconut white chocolate, chocolate, lemon, mint chocolate, coffee, vanilla, pear. And then, of course, things just like chocolate and vanilla. So you start with the ice cream. It's heaped generously onto a brioche bun that's been made fresh next door at the boulangerie. And then comes the sauce. I don't remember all the choices, but I know there's caramel, chocolate, and raspberry, maybe a few more. So we went with the cinnamon and caramelized pecan ice cream, and then topped with caramel syrup. And then for the piece de resistance, this whopping mound of bread and ice cream and syrup is put onto a hot sandwich press and grilled to perfection. So when you bite into it, you have this piping hot, crunchy outer layer giving way to this ice-cold ice cream and syrup mixture on the inside. You'll need a lot of napkins because once you get into it, it starts to run all over the place. But, you know, it's a great thing to have sitting there outside in one of the small tables there and just pretending for a moment that you've wandered into a side street in Old Paris.
This is a great choice. And I do like the fact that there are a lot of different ice cream choices in this store and some that are pretty unique, like you mentioned, which I think makes it a little bit extra special. You don't just have two or three to choose from. You probably have 20 or 25 from which to choose.
Right. And I guess they probably rotate those flavors. Those were, I think, the flavors that were there when we were there not long ago. But, you know, I'm sure that every now and then something is added, something is dropped, you know. So you just kind of never know what you might find, but it's all good.
Yeah, this is a tough pavilion, too, because there are so many delicious snacks. I mean, all the pastries in the boulangerie, it's hard to pick just one thing here.
Right, it is. But I have found my one thing that I will be going back for repeatedly.
And it is a good one. It was number three, France, and the croque glacé. I'm probably not saying that very well. Anyway, okay, so we're coming...
We're not doing these languages justice.
No. So we're on to number four, which is the United Kingdom. And I think this is an interesting pavilion from which to pick a favorite snack. So there's a fish and chips spot here, but I wouldn't say there are as many... sort of quick snack options as maybe in some of the other spots, or maybe obvious snack options as in some of the other spots. So I'm going to go into Lords and Ladies, which is one of the stores in the United Kingdom Pavilion, and I'm going to look around a little bit, and I'll tell you what I didn't select. I almost but didn't select anything from Cadbury's. So Cadbury chocolate, one of my favorite types of chocolates, at least by name, it is very English. But I know Cadbury's has been owned by Kraft, and it's part of big company world global business. So as much as I enjoy their products and I do buy them, I didn't select a Cadbury chocolate for my favorite here. I wanted something that was a little more unique, and I think I found it. And it's not something where you're going to see a massive display of this item, but they do have a very unique coconut macaroon that is covered in dark chocolate, and it's made by Mrs. Crimble's, which I love that name. It seems very, very English to me. Mrs. Crimble's coconut macaroon. So it's pretty small. It's very moist. It's sweet. It's covered with dark chocolate. A delicious little snack that you can enjoy from Lords and Ladies in the United Kingdom Pavilion.
Sounds good. I'll have to look for that and try it next time.
Yeah. They have a nice choice, a nice set of choices of sweets, as we would say in the United Kingdom. So plenty of chocolates too, but check out the coconut macaroon. I would definitely recommend it. Okay, we continue around number five, Canada. So I believe this was one of the most difficult for me to make a selection because there is no quick service dining location in Canada. There aren't that many spots to go and explore in the Canadian Pavilion. Now, what they have is really nice. The gardens are great. Yeah. I think the movie is fun. People go crazy over the steakhouse, the Le Cellier Steakhouse. But in looking for a snack in Canada, you got to poke around a little bit. And so to find a snack, I went into the Northwest Mercantile Shop. Now, there are a lot of maple-based products there, as you might expect with Canada. So Jakeman's seems to be a company that makes a lot of things there. But I wanted to get something a little bit unique. And so what I found was actually really good. There is a company called Covered Bridge. It's based in New Brunswick, and they make dill potato chips. So this is a bag of chips, but it has a very unique and strong dill flavor to it. Most potato chips I like, there aren't too many that I've met that I don't, But these dill potato chips have a very unique flavor to them, and I would definitely recommend them. Something made in Canada, kind of a unique Canadian flavor, dill potato chips at Northwest Mercantile.
Okay, that sounds good. I would have probably gone with something maple flavored.
I could
go for some dill potato chips. You know, talking about how there's not a lot to choose from, I think it's really odd, maybe even ironic, that the one thing that's missing, I think, food-wise in the Canada Pavilion is poutine. Now, they have it in Le Cellier, but poutine is a street food in Canada. It's not something you get in a nice, fancy steakhouse.
Hmm.
And so I keep hoping that one day we'll see a cart or a stand or something that serves up authentic poutine.
So tell us about poutine. What is that?
Well, it's I'm trying to think of a good way to describe it. Think about it in like French fries topped with cheese curds and gravy, like a brown gravy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of times you'll find it sort of with different things added. And I think in Le Cellier they have several varieties of it. But, you know, there's a lot of different takes on it and spins that get put on it. But, you know, it's the kind of thing you would get from a, you know, like what we would think of as a hot dog cart or something like that, you know. just a street food that you would find in a Canadian city, or maybe a diner food in a more rural area. But, I really think that it would be great if they could put something like that there in World Showcase. And if they ever do, then that becomes my go-to snack when I go through the Canadian Pavilion.
Hmm. It's interesting in going through this list. I think Canada may be the only spot we've visited so far that doesn't have some sort of a hot, quick service location where you can get a snack. Like we said, even the United Kingdom has fish and chips. I think every place has got something where you don't have to sit down for a meal to eat something on the go. But Canada, it's not there.
Right, yeah. And it needs it, I think.
Yeah. So, folks at Disney, if you're listening, poutine cart in Canada, idea copyright 2016, World of Walt LLC, you can send the licensing checks in to me, no problem. Okay, that was a good one, number five.
Just make sure the check's made out to me, care of.
Oh, yeah, all right, we'll split it, how's that?
Okay, that's good.
So there are 11 pavilions around World Showcase, and we have made it through 11 countries, but this is a top six list, actually two top six lists, so we've got 12 items. There's one item still to cover, and yet we've made it through all the countries. So, Russ, tell me, what are we going to do for number six?
I think you are going to share your favorite snack item from the African Outpost.
No.
Oh.
We forgot that on the last week's episode, so we're not doing that one.
Okay, so if we're not doing that one, I have a ready replacement for number 12, and that is just after you exit the Canada Pavilion, if you're going clockwise, as we are, through World Showcase, you're going to come across the refreshment port. It is on the... I guess you would call that the promenade that separates Future World from World Showcase. When you get there, you're going to want to have a croissant donut. I like to describe where this is because I have gone in search of the croissant donut several times and missed it. I actually stumbled upon it, not literally, but during a Run Disney race, we ran past the refreshment port, and I happened to glance over at the menu and saw the croissant that wasn't open at 6:45 or 7 o'clock in the morning when we were running through there, but it would have been really good a few hundred yards from the finish line to have a croissant donut there. So the croissant donut, sometimes affectionately known as the cronut, it's just what it sounds like, flaky layers of croissant dough sort of cut into the standard donut shape and then deep fried and smothered in cinnamon and sugar. You can also get it covered in soft serve ice cream. I don't think you need that. I think the flavors are just fine without it. You know, And this comes back around to how we kicked off the episode. You said I was going to share at least one way that Epcot is better than Dunkin' Donuts. So I pass a Dunkin' Donuts twice every day on my commute to and from my office, and someone told me they have croissant donuts there. So I said, I've got to go have one because I've never been able to find them in Epcot up to that point. So every time I would go in, they would be sold out. So I figured they must be really wonderful. I finally found them available at my Dunkin' Donuts, and I was so disappointed in how they were not that good. They almost tasted like they'd been overcooked or something. But let me tell you, the one at Refreshment Port, yep, it's very good, very good. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate completing the circuit of snacking around the world except maybe to go have some Pepto-Bismol and a nap. But first we have Cronut.
I think both those things are probably needed after this journey, yeah. And my apologies to everyone. So I sort of teased the Dunkin' Donut thing last episode, and we didn't get to it till this episode. But there you have it, folks, the Refreshment Port, Pavilion number 12, and the beloved Cronut.
Yeah. Well, I'm really hungry now.
Yeah, me too. All right. So in this list, number one, Kakigori in Japan. Number two, mint tea in Morocco. Number three, Croque Glacé in France. Number four, Mrs. Krimble's coconut macaroons in the United Kingdom. Number five, Covered Bridge dill potato chips in Canada. And number six, the beloved Cronut at the Refreshment Port. Russ, as always, thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's been great fun talking about some of my favorite things, Disney and food.
It's a good combination, isn't it?
It is.
Today we wrapped up our culinary tour around World Showcase at the Refreshment Port, but we're going to back up one and head out to the music of Canada. And yes, we have made it through the list of the top six World Showcase snacks, part two, but our conversation isn't over. I'd like to hear what you think about our list. You can comment by visiting the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/69. It's a page that works nicely for desktops, tablets, and smartphones. Leave your comments in the comment section, and check out what other people are saying as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch with me, and I'd like to invite you to stop by and say hi. You can send an email to me at info@worldofwalt.com. Leave a voicemail message at 407-391-5023. Leave an online voicemail message at worldofwalt.com/voicemail, or check me out on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt or pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would spread the word. Tell your family and friends about it. To wrap up for today, I would like to give you my true, heartfelt thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can find interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney as well. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is extremely cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
Just a dream away. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow. Just a dream.